Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In this episode, we'll explore the world of mutualistas, small, tight-knit community organizations that work to provide low-income families with resources they otherwise might not have access to. In Texas, the story of these organizations has deep roots. They're part of a long tradition in Mexico that found its way into Texas in the 1800s. We'll first hear a story on mutualistas that originally aired on KWBU back in December 2016. Then we'll hear an interview with Ernesto Fraga, the publisher of Waco's Hispanic community newspaper, El Tiempo. Fraga talks about the mutualista in Waco, its history, and what it means for Waco's Hispanic community. This is Behind the Story. Luis Fajardo opens the doors to La Mutualista Sociedad de Jornaleros.
And let me turn the lights on and see what I'm talking about.
Hanging on a concrete wall are black and white photos, memories of the organization's earliest days. Fajardo is a member and president of the group. He points to one specific photo.
In 1924, these gentlemen right here, on this particular day, under this tree, which still exists, are the ones that decided to make the Mutualista.
The Waco Mutualista came together under the banner of union, fraternity, and progress, with a specific interest in watching over the working-class community it came from. Its name even reflects that mission. In English, jornaleros means laborers. This idea, says University of Texas professor Emilio Zamora, is the main reason Mexicans that settled in Texas established these groups.
They had to develop new methods for survival and advancement, and one of them was the formation of organizations.
Across Texas, these groups provided services their community members were being denied, things like education and health care. Mutualistas also negotiated for better working conditions and created insurance funds to take care of members. That made a huge difference in quality of life, according to Ernesto Fraga. He publishes El Tiempo, Waco's local Hispanic newspaper, and his grandparents were some of the earliest members of Waco's Mutualista. Fraga says the Mutualistas also preserved culture.
And they were the ones that allowed for the voice of the Mexican-American community to pass on to the next generation and the generations after that.
Heading into the 1900s, the popularity of Mutualistas swelled, with more than 100 estimated to be in Texas. That boost, Zamora says, happened because at that time,
increasing numbers of Mexicans are brought in to fill the low-skilled occupations and low-wage occupations in the developing industries of the American Southwest. Ranching, farming, the railroads, and mining.
But during the Great Depression, Mutualistas faced financial hardships, and many closed their doors. Today, there's about six still operating in Texas. Waco Mutualista President Luis Fajardo says finances are still a concern for these groups. But the one in Waco has, in part, been buoyed for decades by the dance hall they own and rent out for baptisms or quinceañeras, like this one. La Mutualista's dance hall can fit about 400 people. And tonight, it's packed with teenagers dancing to cumbias, little kids running around, and adults trying to talk to each other over the music. Nights like this one translate to money for the Mutualista, which Fajardo says they'll use to pay bills.
Then the other part is basically the funds that we take when we make a certain amount of money, and we'll say, okay, this is going to go into the scholarship fund, this is going to go here, this is going to go there.
On a recent afternoon, the Waco Mutualista hosted a Christmas gift giveaway. Part of the money Fajardo and the membership made this year went towards buying nearly $3,000 worth of toys, like dolls, trucks, and bikes, all given to neighborhood kids, like 2-year-old Arabella Chavez.
She just won a bike, and that's what she's been wanting.
That's Arabella's mom, Misty Chavez. She's a mother of five and knows volunteers here at the Mutualista.
Just having something like this, it's fun and it's exciting for them, especially if we ourselves can't, you know, afford to get them what they want or need.
Filling that gap is why Mutualistas were founded in the first place. Fajardo says even though the times have changed, La Mutualista Sociedad de Jornaleros' mission hasn't. And he's dedicated to making the Mutualista stronger.
I'll do whatever it takes, along with the membership, to open up and succeed for the Mutualista now and in the future.
In the new year, Fajardo says the Mutualista will continue with building improvements. They've already opened up the dance floor and updated light fixtures. They'll also look to encourage others to visit, people not just from their South Waco neighborhood, but the community at large. Now we'll turn to an interview with Ernesto Fraga. He publishes El Tiempo, Waco's Hispanic community newspaper, and his ancestors were some of the original founders of Waco's Mutualista.
And Ernesto, can you tell me a little bit about your connection to La Mutualista and where it originated on Calle 2? Can you tell me a little bit about your roots with that?
My grandparents came during the Mexican Revolution, after 1910, and they lived throughout Central Texas. My grandfather, Leon Nevarez, would work at properties of farmers and do sharecropping. He and my grandmother, Francisca Nevarez, were early members of the La Sociedad Mutualista Mexicana de Jornaleros. My grandmother used to tell us about the times that she would be part of the processions during the Mexican Independence celebrations, El 16 de Septiembre, where they would wear these sashes and be part of the program, and she would read El Acto de Independencia, which was part of the ceremonies, and all this through the 1940s. Since then, other family members like my aunt, which was my one of the siblings, used to carry on with Mutualista activities and membership until she passed away. But the Mutualista was only about a block away from where my grandmother and grandfather used to live. Which was around La Calle Dos. The street we lived in was more like an alley. It didn't even have a name on it. We have a family that did almost everything that original family members did in Waco, like be part of the families that would go cotton picking around Central Texas. They would be picked up at a certain spot, and at about 5 o'clock in the morning, probably wouldn't get back home till about 8 or 9 o'clock because of the travel. I think I was one of the last generation to be picking cotton in Central Texas. I was still about 12 or 13 years old, still picking cotton, But all of this was living with families that many who were members of the Sociedad Mutualista. By the 1950s, several organizations begat from this organization. Since it was the first one in Central Texas of Mexican Americans, other organizations' leadership developed from there, and they went on to organize other organizations that were charity organizations, like the Waco Missions, which is the Waco Missions Incorporated now. By the 1950s, we also had organizations like LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens. But you can see from the early 1920s all the way to the 1950s, that was a good 30-year period where the Mutualistas were the main spokesman for the Mexicano community in the Waco area and Central Texas area. The oldest organization that this year celebrated 92 years of existence.
The growth of Mutualistas in Texas as a whole, and they're being, you know, founded and established to provide the Mexican community in Texas with resources that it had been denied to them, education, medical assistance, things
like their burial services, insurance. A lot of many Mexicano families that were living in Central Texas at that period of time went through the very same thing that African Americans, ex-slaves, and even indigenous American Indians. They were not allowed to own property in the city limits. We have cemeteries like El Cementerio Santa Cruz that attests to that these families have been in this area since Mexico's independence from Spain of 1821. You could see that in these tombstones. And yet they still weren't allowed to own property in within the city limits, like Waco city limits. And so many of our families lived in the outskirts of Waco. Eventually and gradually started getting properties like at La Calle Dos, which were the poorest neighborhoods. That's when we finally started buying little homes.
Wow. And it's that idea of I think, community kind of coming together to say we'll take care of our own if it's not going to be provided for us. I think that idea has kind of allowed the Mutualistas to, like, continue. And that idea of, like, you know, we're still going to provide services to the community now, even though there's things like LULAC, MALDEF, and all these other organizations, you know.
That's right. People counted on the Mutualistas for anything that arose, whether there were issues or civil rights issues, labor issues, just someone to represent the community. That was what the Mutualistas did to preserve our cultural heritage. That was the Mutualistas that did that. They were the ones that allowed for the voice of the Mexican-American community to pass on to the next generation and the generations after that. It's very important to note that in 1924, when the Mutualistas were founded, that very same period, the Ku Klux Klan was very prominent in Waco, Texas, and the United States. They had even had a mass demonstration in downtown Waco just weeks before the Mutualistas was founded, which was in Austin Avenue. And the Mutualista was just a few blocks away from that area where many businesses, many stores would have a sticker or a Ku Klux Klan symbol that would allow those businesses to say that they were supporters of the Klan so that they wouldn't get harassed or bothered by the Klan's members. So this was the period of time that the Mutualista was founded. So when it came to civil rights issues, the Mutualistas in Waco and around the state were the only ones that could generate membership that had an education present themselves to City Hall or to the courthouses, property rights or liens on properties and things like that. It's also very important to note that Mexico was going through a serious civil war that lasted from 11 to 15 years since 1910. When Porfirio Diaz was ousted from Mexico in 1910, the civil war had already been going on. So many people fled Mexico year after year. One year it was one side or one faction. The next year, because of another president being ousted, another faction would move to Texas. Different factions were moving into Texas and the Waco area for a good period of 11 to 12 years. It's no coincidence that many families did not trust each other because they didn't know whether they were Diistas or Carrancistas or Villistas. They could be from any number of factions of that civil war that was taking place. Many people died, and many people, like my grandparents, fled. Even some of the old families that I'm related to, like the Martinezes, Vicente Martinez, who were only in their teens, came all the way from southern Mexico, from the state of Morelos, all the way to the Waco area to start a new life. And these were some of the founders of the Mutualistas who understood the importance of being of assistance or aid to other Mexicano families who needed that kind of camaraderie and assistance, you know, from other people.
Yeah, do you think it's that idea of being of assistance and that sense of camaraderie amongst a group of people that's allowed the Mutualista to persist for, you know, 90-something years now?
Yeah, it was need that really made it possible for them to exist. The Waco Mutualista is one of the oldest in the state of Texas. That's why it has the name La Benemérita Sociedad Mutualista, because it is one of the elders of the state of Texas, of other sociedades that exist in Texas, like in Fort Worth and Houston and different other parts of Texas.
How would you describe the Mutualistas? How would you describe Mutualistas and their role and what they do in general?
Well, today the Mutualistas are carrying on what they deem as a tradition of Mexican-American pride and culture and representation. Many of them have families who have fought in different wars, in the recent Gulf Wars, Vietnam, World War II. That's who these families are now. They're the ones who are reaching out to the new arrivals that have been coming into the United States within the last 20 years with immigration that's been taking place in the United States. The big population of immigrants that have been coming in within the last 15, 20 years, they have found a welcoming family situation with the Mutualistas, and this is who they are. And many of these families are intermarrying. That's one thing that has always been true about our community, that there's compadreismo, you know, there's an old saying that has been prevalent throughout 92 years that if you're not related, you will be, because that's what the Mutualistas are and represent.
And what would you say, Ernesto, is the key to ensuring that the Mutualista continues another 92 years, you know, it keeps on going?
Well, I think that there are different factors. One is the tradition that that the Mutualistas have been carrying out for that long period of time. But the other is the our place in history in today's world, where now the Mexican-American community is getting prepared to be a majority in McLennan County, and just like in Texas and throughout the Southwest. A lot of responsibility is going to be handed down to our generations to represent and speak out for all of these people who are now, just to give you an example, the Waco Independent School District, 59% of the student population is Mexican-American. So there are a lot of challenges that are facing us that are going to be facing us as far as leadership in school board, teachers, businesses, because there are other organizations in town that are Mexican-American oriented. The Mutualista is always counted as being in a leadership role. There was a coalition that was established in the 1960s that I was proud to be a part of, that was called the Alliance of Mexican-American Organizations. And the Mutualistas were part of this. We organized two members of every Hispanic or Mexican-American organization that included the churches, the Mutualistas, the missions, LULAC, we called it the Alliance of Mexican-Americans, and it became an advocate coalition to challenge all the hiring entities in this town to start hiring Mexican-Americans. Or to show why they were not hiring them. That included the U.S. Postal Service, the telephone companies, the manufacturing companies, the city of Waco, General Tire, which was still around at the time. That's part of the leadership that the Mutualista played during the 1960s, was to help build coalitions in the community. So it has a very great heritage, not just in cultural contributions, but in representative endeavors.
And it's when we're looking at kind of mutualistas across the board, Fort Worth, Houston, San Marcos, you know, some of those have shuttered their doors, then reopened for various reasons. A lot of the times it falls on financial reasons. So in the case of the Waco one, the one here, what do you think it's been that's allowed it to be like 90 some odd years straight, you know, without faltering and closing and then opening up again? Like, what is it that's kind of kept this community throwing its support behind the Mutualista?
I think that one of the things that has kept this organization so strong throughout the years is the services that they had been providing with insurance and burial services that just passed down from generation after generation. The other is that the Mutualista was the first Mexican-American organization to actually establish itself by buying property. We had property in the old Calle 2, North 2nd Street, that allowed for a building, a salon, a hall for community activities and dances, and an outdoor plataforma for outdoor events and fiestas. And so the Mutualista organization went on to buy property on La Salle Avenue, which is very close to the offices here, on 15th Street in La Salle. And these properties are now part of what ties in the membership that gives them something to hang on to as part of their heritage and to nurture and continue to use as service to the community.
And are you aware, Ernest, or do you know, I guess, cause so, you know, the, you know, Calle 2 area neighborhood gets, you know, bulldozed and, you know, with La Pila covered up, everything. So do you, for when that happened and when, I guess, the founders and stakeholders involved with the Mutualista found out that they were going to be losing that area, right? Are you aware of how important it was for them or what their thought process was in making sure that they found a new location and the Mutualista continued?
That's what makes them so important, is that they were part of that history that happened to our neighborhood at La Calle 2, which was downtown Waco, the area that surrounded the Waco City Hall building that's still there. Everything around that, which was called La Squadra, the square, had our neighborhoods just next door to all of these old businesses that were around the street where the Waco City Hall is, and that was our neighborhood. Starting in the 1950s, the city of Waco started urban renewal program. Some people critically called it the urban removal program that used eminent domain to make property owners sell their properties, my grandparents included, and many of our families, to sell their homes at prices that didn't allow them to buy new homes with the amount of money that they were allotted. Because they would have to move out to areas in different parts of town. So the Mutualista organization was able to, after years of experience in knowing about properties and working with the courthouse and all that, they knew that they needed a different venue. So that's how they founded the Mutualista Hall in the La Salle, 15th and La Salle area. The transition was gradual, but they was done very professionally with those members. If you ever go to any of their meetings, you will see that the president presides, the treasurer gives the financial report, and they're very strict about how the money is earned, how it's spent, and how it's allotted, and who did this and who signed that. And that's the kind of organization that has been keeping things going for so many years.
So incredibly important then to make sure that with the loss of Calle 2 and everything, that they continued on, even if it was in a new place, and which eventually became La Salle. It was important to find a new home, I guess.
Yes, and they've been very successful at keeping that going. They one of the things that they did once they established themselves on 15th and LaSalle was to begin having annual Mexican Independence parades that were sponsored by Mexican Americans and Mexican American organizations that all joined in with the Mutualista. I was also privileged to be a part of the parade committee every year to wear the sash along my chest and walk at the very front of the parade every year that would be organized from South 12th Street and Clay and proceed through South 11th and South 12th all the way to the hall on 15th and LaSalle. So they carried that out for many, many years until just recently when the City Parks and Recreation started having too many rules and control over what parade had to abide by, and no candy being thrown into the streets, and just a lot of stuff that we enjoyed these parades ever since they got established on 15th and LaSalle, and there was a tradition that was carried out for a long time. These parades brought out many people, thousands of people into the streets, and they would follow the parade all the way to the Mutualista. So here they would all arrive at the Mutualista by the hundreds and proceed with the festivities of the Mexican Independence celebrations, mm-hmm. when all the speeches and all of the oratory would commence from that.
Was there anything else, Ernesto, you'd like to mention about the Mutualista here, history, or just anything that I may have failed to ask that you think is important to know?
I see a lot of promise for the future. The membership is they're going through a metamorphosis of what is going to be our task and our challenges for the coming years, and history is giving us our challenges because of what we're going through with new immigration laws, the safety of our immigrants with so much anti-immigrant sentiment that's going on. We're going through a lot of sentiment today that we had not heard since our grandparents had gone through. In 1915, only 9 years before the Mutualistas were established in Waco, around 1915, there's an article that came out in the Dallas Morning News and in the history books that tells about over 3,000 Mexican-Americans who were American citizens who were slaughtered and killed by vigilantes and police and Texas Rangers because there was a resistance over violations of property laws that many Mexican-Americans were protesting. A lot of injustice that was taking place in Texas and throughout the Southwest, and this was the atmosphere and the period of time that the Mutualistas were established in Waco.
That was Ernesto Fraga, publisher of El Tiempo, Waco's Hispanic community newspaper. This has been Behind the Story. To hear this episode and past episodes, you can visit our website at kwbu.org.